All right, everybody, welcome back to the Strong Principles. This is Larry Medina.
I'm Rob Dela Cruz.
I'm Zach Bragg.
And I'm Wendy Shafransky. And today we are going to talk about youth athletics, so youth and sport. We do have a sports performance program here at the gym, and we kind of see some trends of kids coming in. We're going to talk about some of the things we see today and maybe some better outcomes that can happen. So Zach's going to be a big part of this. He works with quite a few teens, and he's worked with a lot of athletes over the years. But first and foremost, these days, teens don't seem to have an off season, and they specialize in one sport. So that could be volleyball, soccer, whatever, but they play it in school, they play on their club team, and they practice constantly. So Zach, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's not ideal to specialize, I think, at a young age. I think being more broader and doing a bunch of different things is great. But what we see oftentimes is kids with field sports, or really any sport that, you know, it's a high demand on the body. And so they're not balancing that out with proper strength training, proper movement patterns like we do in the gym. And so that's what we'll talk about more. But I think it's just a wear on them, and then there's no offset. There's no balancing out with right. proper training, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stress that's put on them. And when you talk to the parents and stuff, the stress is put on them from the teams, the coaches. And if they don't do this camp off season, but basically they're still playing, or whatever league is off, then the coach might not play them. I mean, there's like all kinds of kind of maneuvering going on that you have no idea that how much pressure the parents are under, and then the athletes are under.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, now just like getting into college and, you know, things like that, it's a lot more pressure than when we were kids. And I feel like we all played so many different sports,
yep.
you know, and if you talk to a lot of pro athletes, they actually grew up playing a wide variety of sports and didn't
Correct.
Just play baseball or just play football. So there's a lot of advantage to not specializing. You know, you're using less wear and tear and overuse in certain, you know, muscle groups or movements. You know, you just kind of get a break from that and learn a new skill, and that makes you overall more athletic.
Yeah, and there's a reason why there are seasons in sports too. And most athletes, especially when they get to the college level / to the pros, play a few sports all the way through. Some of them don't even know what they're going to go ahead and put the most time into when they're in college.
Yes.
They're almost playing two sports, track and field, field sport, whatever they're doing. And then they finally make a decision where they're going.
There's a perfect example of that. So Cameron McCormick, who is a very famous golf coach in the golf world, and his most famous client is Jordan Spieth, who plays on the PGA Tour now. But he worked with Jordan Spieth from a very young age. And his dad, Jordan Spieth's dad, was talking to Cameron about, well, he's really good at golf. Should he just be playing golf right now? And Cameron was like, no, let him play every single sport. Let him do everything. And look at where he is now, you know. So he developed an athletic ability. But that is also something, too, that an emphasis is placed incorrectly with these coaches, because there's so much they put so much of a demand on skill first, mm-hmm. rather than putting a demand on functional patterns, yep. building proper muscle mass, and then developing skill. And they'll develop the skill much faster if they do that first. And I think we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's a great segue. I mean, we have a lot of kids that come in for camp or for, you know, an assessment, personal training, and they're badass at their sport. But then you ask them to do a simple air squat, and their knees cave in, their ankles are really glued, you know, down. There's no ankle mobility. They don't have a lot of trunk rotation. They sit all day at school. Their mm-hmm. hips are tight. There's just so many issues. And again, that emphasis on skill acquisition, there's too much emphasis on that instead of building a foundation of proper movement patterns and then strength and power, which will then in turn, you know, the skill acquisition goes easier and you're even that much better.
So basically, if I'm hearing everything correctly, right, from outside looking in, right? It sounds like if I concentrate on only skill, I'm a killer and I'm badass at what I do. However, I may be overcompensating in some areas because I don't have something correct. And it really, in the long run, it's holding me back, mm-hmm. and also could be something for injury in the future.
Big yep. time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think about, you know, a baseball pitcher and how many times they're using their one shoulder over and over and over again. But if you're not, you know, strengthening your rotator cuff and doing all these other things to balance yourself out, it's not a matter of if you're going to get injured, it's basically when you're going to get injured.
Yeah. I mean, Larry, you pretty much hit it on the nail. So like, if you specialize too early, then you're going to run into problems when they get older. If they wait until later to specialize, then those problems are likely way down the road. But if you, if they're too specialized earlier and their movement patterns are just all around that sport, as soon as they go outside of that, then injuries start just occurring right away and overuse injuries start popping up really fast.
Yeah, it's like trying to teach a kid how to sprint before he knows how to walk properly. And so, you know, you see a lot of the kids who we have, and that's the big one I see, we have them do an assessment of a simple toe touch, right? And they can't even bend forward properly. They don't know how to hip hinge. But then you ask a kid to go into an athletic position, he's in a hinge. That's what he's supposed to be doing, basically. But he doesn't have the hamstring mobility to do it. So being able to build up that elasticity in the tendons and ligaments is just as important, too. And so the proper training protocols to make sure that they have the right mobility, build strength from there with those patterns, then develop power, then develop speed, then develop any specific specificity that is needed for their sport, is that would be the way to go.
The earlier you do it, the easier it is. And so like what we were saying, like what we were saying before, was that if you wait too long and they're a little older in the sport, it's going to be really hard to come back, because if you come back, you might actually cause them to get a little worse in their sport for a little while, because now they're so adapted to those patterns.
And you're right. I do feel like it's like right now, because I have friends who have kids or had, you know, and they're adults now, but they would be playing baseball like 2 years in a row, maybe three. And then they'd get burned out, right? They'd be like, I don't want to play.
Yeah. No, and volleyball is big here in town, and a lot of females, you know, female girls play, and they all year round, you know, they go in their school, then they're in the club team, they're in the travel team. And so many of them have knee issues from all the jumping and pounding. And on top of it, nobody has taught them how to jump correctly. It's just go out there and play the sport. Same thing with sprinting. I mean, there's soccer players, you know, there, and lacrosse players. Speed is rewarded, obviously, but they've never been taught deceleration. So they just kind of stop, and then knee issues happen, ankle issues happen. So, you know, great, they're kind of raw and they're just talented at their sport, but there's so much fine tuning that can happen with a proper program or coach that can save you from injury. And, you know, if when you get stronger, typically you get a little faster because there's more ground force. You know, you get better at other things because you've built this base of strength.
So how do you convince, so like, let's say I'm a parent, like what would you say to a coach that's like, nope, this kid's got to be here year round? Right. Like,
well, a couple other things to assess me. One, we used to work with really good physical therapists, and her name was Jamie, and she tested the volleyball girls. She was working with a team, and I think it was like 98% of them had a high likelihood of a knee injury.
Yeah. Their dominant leg was very imbalanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they,
it was a crazy, it was a ridiculous amount, and nobody was working with them to correct it. And like sports coaches, they just played a sport. They're not like corrective exercise coaches. And you, sometimes some teams have like athletic coaches, but not most of the time they're not. And so to convince the parent is, one is you got to see what the child, how she moves, and then educate them about like, hey, this is the move, what it should look like. And this will prevent injuries down the line, because repetitive knees going in or landing weird over and over and over, thousands of reps are going to cause a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, and I mean, to your question, you're kind of like, you know, if I'm a parent and I have all this pressure from the coach to have my kid play all year round, and I want my kid to play and not sit on the bench, so I want to listen to the coach. I mean, I think you can still carve out one day a week where, you know, first they get an assessment at with a reputable trainer, and then just carve out, you know, 1 hour a week where they're working on mechanics, getting a little stronger, because it is hard in the in season to commit, you know, 3 days a week. So worst case scenario, you know, one day a week in the in season, a little bit more in the off season if you even take an off season. But yeah, we get it. Like, there's pressure to, you know, to do what the coach says, but a lot of times they're great at the skill of the sport and the strategy, but they're not experts in human movement.
Yeah, and there's a big convincing factor too, because from the ages of 10 to 18, there's a lot of development that's happening with a child, especially women. They develop much faster. I mean, when their hips grow, femurs lengthen, that's making a change in muscle structure. That's making a change in tendon and ligament fibroelasticity. And when those changes are occurring, if you're continuing to place a demand from the skill of your sport without addressing any of that tissue or addressing any of the patterns that are required to get that tissue to move properly and for that muscle tissue to adapt to the skill, if you're not addressing that, most of the time we see an injury. And there is, I think, a lot of convincing to not only with the coach, but with the parent, because there was an old thinking that, well, my child shouldn't work out because they're too young, you know. And there is some things that you would want to stay away from with a young child, but there's always something that you can do with them. And that's why the assessment is so important with a young child, to take a look at if there's any imbalances and then finding out what they need to do. But there's always something you can do with them that's going to benefit them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because, like, to your point about the parents, right? Like, growing up, my dad would be like, hey, you can't work out because...
it's going to stunt your growth.
It's going to stunt your growth. Yeah. You know, and that was honestly, like, what I grew up with was like, oh, you're only going to get so tall. Like, the genetics are already working against me, you know? So I had that going against me. And then I was like, oh, I got to worry about, you know, doing squats or bench press or whatever. But yeah, it that was the old way of thinking, you know, the old wives' tale, I guess.
And so that's why we break it down, get really good at those proper movement patterns first. We're not saying put a heavy barbell on their back, but a squat and a hinge is all needed when you play sport, you know? And so if you have to do those movement patterns, if those are demanded in your sport, those skills, why are you not training them? Why are you not working on those patterns? And so those patterns are more important. That's the base. Then develops, you know, power and more strength, and then develop the skill. So it definitely has to be done correctly, but it can be done. So
yeah, and sometimes there's that notion of, well, I'm doing well. If I get stronger or bulkier or whatever, it's going to, you know, ruin my skill set that I acquired. You run into it all the time with golfers. It's going to ruin my swing. And then he's got people just killing it.
But yeah, done wrong, like the wrong exercises or like the wrong program, it could hinder, you know? So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's all about doing the proper exercise. But I think, like, also too, like, a lot of it boils down to, they see outliers that played sports when they were younger and they got famous and now they were like really, right. And those are outliers, not the norm.
Yeah.
And so, like, the more parents understand that, the easier it is to get them to, like, hey, they should do this on the side or have an off season. Yeah.
I did a football certification years ago, and there's an NFL player that was one of our instructors. And he said the reason why he was so good in the NFL is because he was a competitive trampoline gymnast growing up. He had so much body awareness and explosivity and all that stuff. And so he was, he made it to the NFL, and he was a huge proponent of just go to gymnastics, like, learn all these great movements and don't just, you know, go in one lane.
Yeah, and the other thing that you're seeing too, right, kind of like what you said about their seasons, there's a reason why there's seasons, right? Football isn't year-round. And so there is an off season. And what do they do in the off season? I bet you they're not hitting drills.
No.
They may go out and run and do some pass catches, that sort of thing. Maybe some quick, like, hey, if you're a lineman, some blocking drills, but nothing intense. And I guarantee you they're doing some kind of lifting, weight training,
for sure,
squatting, making sure that they're...
Yeah, I would say the football players are the best about that, like, in the off season, lifting weights. I mean, obviously they want to be big, but there's also... you know, go into any middle school, high school weight room, and you're just like, oh, they didn't learn how to move,
yeah,
right? And it actually does become kind of dangerous. So, yeah, there's that too.
And with all these kids, like we were talking about, you know, a lot of times they're dual sport athletes, but to Wendy's point, just dedicating some time is all you need. You know, you don't need a kid in the gym necessarily 5 days a week, but 1 or 2 days is great. So you can find the time as a parent to do that, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, going on that, I'm always surprised how fast they change.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much compared to adults. You see a kid will come in moving completely unaware, body awareness, and then all of a sudden a couple of weeks later, you're like, whoa, that doesn't even look like the same kid.
That's interesting. Yep. Yeah, and this is perfect time, right, because the summer's coming?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Get going.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just in closing, I guess, you know, if you are a parent listening to this, give your kid an off season, even if it's 2 weeks every few months, you know, get – take them away from their sport at some point. And then instead of having, you know, this pyramid where your base is skill acquisition, it should be proper movement patterns. On top of that, strength and power, and then finally skill acquisition as the top of the pyramid. So it's a good, just kind of good rule of thumb.
Yep, 100%.
All right. Awesome.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. This has been Strong Principles.